Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, give us a call. We're going to get to your phone calls here in just a few minutes. We've pretty much got the phone lines open for you for the next 2 hours here on Montana Talks. We've got one guest who's going to join us. I think he's in town talking about the Constitution. He's with a group called the Patriot Corps. I think he's visiting with the Yellowstone County Republicans, visiting out with the Carbon County Republicans. So he's going to drop by our studios here in a few minutes to tell us what he's up to. But other than that, we're going to take your phone calls, get your reactions to President Trump's address last night. And I'd imagine some of you want to call in and jump in on some of the news coming out of the Montana legislature in Helena. I see we've already got a couple callers on the phone lines that want to give you the heads up on a couple of bills that they're backing in particular, because, yeah, Friday is the big deadline. Friday is the transmittal deadline for the Montana legislature. A lot of these bills, if they don't make it through the Friday transmittal deadline, then they're dead for this legislative session. And the legislature only meets every other year. So this week, there is a lot going on. That's kind of crunch time for the Montana legislature. So we'll get to those phone calls here in just a second. Let me start with the big breaking news that we first broke yesterday afternoon on our Montana Talks website. 17 illegal aliens busted in Big Fork, Montana. They were busted on a job site in Big Fork, Montana. The U.S. Border Patrol Spokane sector shared some photos of those arrests and announced the following news on their Facebook page Tuesday afternoon. I saw it about 20 minutes after they posted it, so I was like, well, I better get a story on our Montana Talks website. Here's the news. Whitefish Station Border Patrol agents, along with ICE, HSI Kalispell, acted on a tip and conducted a worksite operation in Big Fork, Montana. Agents served a notice of inspection and encountered 17 illegal aliens during the operation. The aliens were taken into custody for being inadmissible to the United States. And you guys might remember, less than a month ago, we told you about a series of operations conducted by the Border Patrol in Northwest Montana, starting back on January 23rd. You had several illegal aliens arrested in Thompson Falls, Montana. I believe the four of them were from Peru. Then on January 29th, you had Border Patrol agents from the Whitefish Station apprehend five illegal aliens in Hungry Horse, Montana. And then January 31st, actually it was January 30th, it was announced on the 31st, but on January 30th, you had four more illegal aliens apprehended near Columbia Falls, Montana. And it looks like all of these, thanks to your tips, thanks to local citizens seeing something and saying something, getting a bunch of comments on our social media pages after we shared that news. A lot of people are saying, hey, if they went to Big Sky, they could find a lot more where those came from. And then other folks are saying, well, hey, who is the contractor who hired all these illegal aliens? And are they going to be held accountable to?
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino. Brad Paisley is hitting the road this summer with his Truck Still Works World Tour, kicking off May 21st in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and wrapping up August 8th in Wisconsin. The tour includes stops at iconic venues he's never played before, like Red Rocks Amphitheater on May 24th and the Greek Theater in Los Angeles, June 6th. As well as stops in San Diego, Richmond, Virginia, Wilmington, North Carolina, and more. Walker Hayes will open most shows. Tickets on sale on Paisley's website.
She had eyes like diamonds.
Randy Travis's More Life Tour will now last into November. After a successful spring run wraps up in May, the tour will take a summer break before returning in Denver August 21st. From there, Travis and the band will keep a heavy schedule in September, October, and November. James Dupree will be singing the hits in front of Travis's original band. That's Fox Country on Fox News. Avoiding an audit can be as simple as filing everything correctly. I'm Ginny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip after this.
From around the world to Washington to your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Simple errors can result in an audit letter from the IRS.
If you have a 1099 for some income and you forgot to include it, the IRS knows that that income was paid to you.
Carl Breedlove, lead tax research analyst with the Tax Institute at H&R Block, says if something looks fraudulent, the IRS will want a closer look. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin and Associates.
If you don't work with a professional, there may be forms missing.
When in doubt, have a tax professional prepare your return. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, if you are on the phone lines, we will get to every single one of you. We've got the phone lines filled up right now, so let's jump right into it. First up, what do you want to talk about? We've got Julie in the Flathead Valley listening to KJJR. Julie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, let's talk about House Bill 542 that just got shot down that deals with the DUI bill. I'm absolutely shocked, and I say shocked with all capitals, that we had 66 legislators shoot this down. Montana is number one in the nation for DUI-related deaths. We're not number two. We're not number three. We are number one. I am very proud of the Flathead Valley representatives that teamed together to bring this bill, that supported this bill, because it was Representative Steve Kelly, who's from the Flathead, that brought it to pass. For the people in the Flathead Valley, we know the extraordinarily high devastation that has happened with DUI-related incidents. We had somebody just a couple months ago, a tragic incident where it involved a seventh time offender who killed a man and his unborn child while critically injuring his fiance and other relatives. I mean, stories like this are going on throughout the state of Montana. So I think it's shocking because it doesn't matter Republican, Democrat. This is about a human issue. And if you take a look at the people, the 66 that didn't vote for it, it's shocking. I look at Missoula. I look at Bozeman. Those have our universities. We need to have things in place. And by the way, this is not like, oh, you get your first DUI and you're thrown into prison. It's like, oh, here's a minimum mandatory sentence once you've gone past three DUIs.
Yeah, was this House Bill? This is House Bill 542, right? Is that the one, 542? I looked it up real quick here.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And the other thing is, too, is, you know, I think about this because I really think about the universities because, you know, we don't know if it's younger people that are getting some of those DUIs. Sometimes a slap on the wrist isn't going to make a difference. But when you really scrape your knees, you go, oh, that hurt. I'm not going to do it again. Same thing for people that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 30s, whatever other age that keeps being a repeat offender. At some point, they need a harder consequence to where they'll make a life change. Because people that are drinking consistently and putting other people's lives at risk, there's something more that's going on.
This is House Bill 542 by Republican Representative Steve Kelly, and if I'm reading right here, it would strengthen DUI penalties by making a third DUI conviction a felony. Right now, I believe it's a fourth that leads to a felony. This would make it a third. That's a big topic. I mean, remember when Judge Dan Wilson was running for the Montana Supreme Court, and he talked about how the Montana Supreme Court has even weakened the DUI law enforcement. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to hear and if folks reach out to their lawmakers on why these representatives voted against that bill in particular. Julie, thanks for the call. Sorry we're short on time. Let's get to Jolene in Gallatin County next up. Jolene, which bill did you want to alert our listeners to?
Hi, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I just wanted to give a call to action. This is about Senate Bill 474. This is going to hit the Senate floor today for a second reading. And this is really about medical freedom and informed consent. So I would encourage your listeners regarding vaccine status. I would encourage your listeners to call the switchboard in Helena. That's 406-444-4800. Leave a message for the entire Senate floor saying vote yes for Senate Bill 474. And this is why. A family's sincere religious beliefs should be honored and accepted in America. And especially when we're talking about babies and preschoolers, they often are left out of the medical freedom conversation because if you ever need to go to daycare, often those daycares will not accept religious exemptions. And so if this bill were to pass, that would help with this issue. I get messages on a semi-regular basis with our medical freedom group of moms looking for options for their children because they don't want to put all these chemicals and toxins in their babies, which is understandable. So we need to support families that are thinking this way and give them an exit strategy.
All right, and that is Senate Bill 474. Jolene, thanks for the call. Speaking of medical freedom, next up on the phone lines, we've got Aaron Laws with the Montana Medical Freedom Alliance. We had Aaron on the show a couple weeks ago or so. Aaron, what did you want to tell our listeners today? We've got about a minute or so before our next break.
Okay, yeah, thanks for having me. One of our priority bills this session is House Bill 682. And this bill is for kids who have gone through transgender procedures, hormones, and it gives them real help for if they realize that they've made a mistake, if they've been harmed by this care. And this is, we call it the Detransitioner Bill of Rights, but it's going to allow them to file a medical malpractice suit for up to 25 years, which is important because a lot of times it takes about a decade for them to realize what a mistake they've made, the harms that have been done. Sometimes they have, you know, increased risk of cancer rates, for example. They realize that they maybe can't bear a child, breastfeed. So there's a lot of things that it's going to take a number of years.
Interesting. Hold that thought. I'll come back to you for a quick follow-up right after the break here. Yeah, this is House Bill 682. I would just assume that they would already be able to sue for medical malpractice over this transgender stuff. But anyway, stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience, but it appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Upgrading your kitchen does not have to cost an arm and a leg. In fact, there are many ways to upgrade the heart of your home for $250 or less, according to professional design experts. You can start by creating a new look with paint to your walls, which can transform your kitchen with a small investment. And also try painting your kitchen cabinets instead of a kitchen cabinet overhaul, which can cost thousands of dollars. And speaking of your cabinets, updating the hardware on cabinets and drawers Bars could be one of the most impactful yet affordable ways to upgrade your kitchen and try to enhance the lighting for ambiance and functionality, which can make a significant difference in how your kitchen looks and functions. And also try to introduce a stylish backsplash, which can transform your area behind the stove or sink. Consider options like mosaic tiles, subway tiles, or peel and stick backsplash panels for an affordable and easy installation process. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News. At my-
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, we got a great guest who's going to be with us here in just a second. In fact, thanks to Pam Purinton with the Yellowstone County GOP, she says, hey, we got a guy coming to town in March. And that was like 2 months ago. And she's like, would you want to have him on your show? I said, heck yeah, send him to us. And I think he's going to be traveling around chatting with different folks. So looking forward to that. Oh, man, he's really traveling the state. He's going to be, man, he's going to, you know, he's here today. He's going to be doing a Billings event tomorrow night, it looks like. He'll be in Helena Friday. Anyway, we'll tell you about that here in just a second. Let me go back first to the phone lines here, though. Aaron Laws with the Montana Medical Freedom Alliance. Yeah, Aaron, you know, it's interesting to me that who is the biggest backer of the Democrat Party, the radical left, and as a result, who is pushing all this transgender nonsense? It's the trial lawyers. They're the biggest backers of the Democratic Party, maybe second to the radical abortion lobby. I would think the trial lawyers would be all, I think the trial lawyers, they've got to be seeing dollar signs with these transgender procedures and these drugs that they're trying to push on kids. So I would just have just assumed that people would already have the ability to file a lawsuit if there's a case of medical malpractice, but I guess it wouldn't hurt to have a bill to make sure of that, right?
Well, I believe that it's only 2 years now that you can claim medical malpractice. And think about if someone was 13 years old that got gender, what we call gender affirming care. So that would only give her to 16 years old to file a medical malpractice claim, and that's just not enough time. That, you know, you're not even an adult by that time, and not even potentially realizing what harm has just been caused to your body. So I think it's really important that they have a longer period of time to claim medical malpractice. And the other part of the bill is that it would require insurance companies to cover detransition care if they first covered transition care. And that's not happening now either. We had three detransitioners come to our hearing that was last Saturday. It was a great hearing. And they talked about how one of the gals, she got transition care in Great Falls several years ago. And a lot of people don't know that Planned Parenthood is actually promoting this, and they're actually dispensing hormones for gender transition. And she went back to them saying, I made a mistake. I don't want to do this anymore. And they really did not know how to care for her and, you know, what they could do to help her out. So it's a real problem. We feel really a lot of empathy for these kids who have been led down the wrong pathway as far as transgender care. So it's
yeah, that sounds really, really important. Yeah. All right. Well, I do have another guest I got to get to here. But Aaron Laws, I really appreciate your surprise phone call. So this is House Bill 682 by Representative Greg Kometz out of Miles City. Man, we've heard from these detransitioners, and how crazy is it that the Democrats and the lobby that pushes this radical transgender agenda on kids, oh, they'll pay for you to chop up your body and inject all these drugs that can cause lifelong irreversible harm. But if you want to transition and go back to the way God made you, Nope. We don't cover that. No. But you want to chop yourself up and pretend to be something else. Oh, yeah, here you go. Wow, it's just crazy. Aaron, thanks for calling in. I appreciate hearing from you. We'll get back to your phone calls here in just a few minutes. And then, of course, the entire 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about the president's address last night, getting your reactions and much more. Plus, I caught up with Senator Steve Daines earlier this morning. I'll have some of those highlights. We've got Matt Erickson in the house right now. He's out of Washington State. Matt, I was kind of joking with you during the break. Push that microphone just a little closer. There we go. Perfect. Yeah, I was joking. Man, you still live in Washington State.
I do, yes.
A guy who loves the Constitution has got to be going crazy being trapped behind enemy lines in Washington State right now.
Well, my wife and I have put up our house for sale, but we don't know quite sure where we're going yet. But
and Eastern Washington is a little different than King County in Seattle.
Yeah,
so
the I-5 corridor is a little bit tougher there.
Yeah. So you've got a book in front of us here, Learn the Constitution and Roar. Restore our American Republic. First off, you've got a big travel schedule.
Right.
You're going to be traveling the state for the next several days.
Tonight I'll be speaking in Billings with the Republican Yellowstone County Republican Party at 6 p.m. Friday at lunch I'll be in Helena with the Lewis and Clark Republican Women. Monday I'll be at Mineral County in Superior to speak with the Republican women there. And then Tuesday afternoon, I'll be in Missoula with the Republican women there. So I got a good group of people here to talk to.
Yeah, that's a great lineup. So you'll be at the Red Door in Billings 6 o'clock tonight, and then Helena, Superior, Montana, and then into Missoula. So yeah, great lineup. So tell us, what are you going to be talking about?
Talking about our founding principles, outlining the Declaration of Independence and put into practice better with implementing them in the U.S. Constitution. My work's at the federal level. I don't really get into state and local issues, but it's on understanding what the founders and framers and ratifiers gave us that we kind of ignore to our peril.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get a chance to check out some of your materials here, but it's crazy what we see going on right now. I mean, all the wasteful spending and the fraud and the abuse that Doge and Elon Musk are identifying right now, and we're $36 trillion in debt. We've got a $2 trillion annual deficit alone that they're trying to trim back here, and it's like, man, have we strayed so far from what the purpose of this country is supposed to be and the limitations that are supposed to be in place on our federal government.
Yeah, and it's more than just limitations. Our Constitution doesn't limit Congress per se and allow them to do anything but what's expressly limited. No, they have named powers that members of Congress can implement using necessary and proper means, and everything else is reserved to the states or we the people. So it's not that it limits them. That's what Alexander Hamilton wanted. He wanted to give Congress inherent power to do whatever members wanted, except as his Constitution, which he wanted to create, was a set of negative prohibitions that would have listed, basically, Congress should not do this, Congress should not do that. So that's where it's a limitation on inherent power. No, the founders and framers and ratifiers gave us a government where they only have named powers and they must be used necessary and proper means. So if it was a named power, if it was unnecessary but proper, they couldn't do it. If it was a named power, necessary but improper, they couldn't do it. It has to be a named power that they have to use both means that are necessary and proper, and then members of Congress can actually implement the power.
So you've got, it sounds like, learnthecostitutionin1year.com, and you've got a book, but you've also got some electronic materials. How is your material, how is your constitutional training programs similar or different to, say, something that like a Hillsdale College might provide, for example?
And I love that a lot of different organizations like Hillsdale put out constitutional materials. That is absolutely fantastic. And Hillsdale is a great college, and I applaud them for it. My work concentrates on what I call exposing the make-believe rule of paper tyrants who swear that oath to support the Constitution so they could exercise named powers, but yet then they seem to magically be able to ignore or bypass normal constitutional parameters with impunity. And so I feel my job is that of Toto and the Wizard of Oz, is people are lining up to see this all-powerful wizard of self-proclaimed magical power. Well, first of all, listen to his message. You know, I'm the great and powerful Oz, you know, but then, okay, Dorothy, you go, you know, fetch me these magic slippers. Well, if you're great and powerful, why do you need either, you know, slippers or her to go do it? So it's, I've put an extensive amount of time over the last three and a half decades of pursuing, you know, to sniff out the source of the stench that's emanating behind the curtain, pull it back, and then now I'm trying to bark like crazy to draw attention. The only thing that matters is how do those who swear that binding oath yet ignore normal parameters and do as they please?
And where do you see the greatest abuses of that right now or in the last few years in particular?
Well, we can say, you know, Department of Education has been a big thing lately, but I mean, you can not, you know, you could, there's many people that talk on, you know, I don't like this part of what federal government doing. It appears to us that everyday federal powers, when they come up to actions, I should say, everyday federal actions, when they come up against the Constitution, it appears to us that the Constitution folds and then it has like no relevance. And members of Congress, executive agency departments or alphabet agency bureaucrats or, you know, judges legislating from the bench, you know, it is everything beyond the spirit of the Constitution, I argue, is you can expose that fault. Like 95% of the federal powers today are not the necessary and proper implementation of the named powers. And so I argue that we, the people, have today, Americans have today, the Constitution that the founders and framers gave us changed only by 27 ratified amendments, period. Everything beyond the spirit or the letter of the Constitution that contradicts that is but deception, lies, and corruption, deceit. We do not need to change government. We do not need to search for angels to elect positions and unlimited power. We need to understand how those servants successively act as our political masters because it's based on a lie and deception. So we just learn how to identify magnets that were put on the constitutional compass hundreds of years ago to learn to, oh, hey, that's that hidden magnet, it's super powerful, but you pull that off, the compass works again properly and reorient back to the path that the founders and framers and ratifiers established it on. And so we have to learn to identify magnets that
how to rein it in, how to hold it back. Matt Erickson, learn the Constitution and roar. How can people get a hold of you or if they have more questions about your travel schedule, et cetera?
Okay. My website.
Actually, hold that thought. I'm looking at the time here. We'll come back to it after this. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, well, we're going to open up the phone lines once again. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation here, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. But, yeah, we were short on time there heading into that last break, but I got Matt Erickson's phone number and the website for you if you want to find out more about his organization. He's traveling the state this week with Learn the Constitution and Roar, but patriotcorps.org, that's core with an S, of course, patriotcorps.org is his website. And then if you've got a pen, I'll give you his cell phone number. But really, you know, he's going to be at the Yellowstone County Republican Central Committee tonight. And then he's going to be meeting with the Lewis and Clark Republican women, the Mineral County Constitutional Republican women, and the Missoula County Republican women. So get a hold of those respective organizations in your neck of the woods if you want to attend, find out specific times and details. Or here is Matt Erickson's phone number, 360-601-7235. All right, let's jump right back into it here. I want to go back to this big breaking news that we first reported yesterday afternoon, just as the news was shared by the U.S. Border Patrol, the Spokane station, which covers the sector, which covers, of course, northwest Montana and western Montana. 17 illegal aliens busted on a job site in Big Fork, Montana. Of course, they were acting on a tip. U.S. Border Patrol and ICE went in, did an inspection, and then, 17 illegal aliens at that one job site alone. I'm looking at some of the comments out there, not only comments on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Flint Report, but whenever I do a story for our Montana Talks website, it will often get shared by various other, you know, radio stations across the state as well. KJJR shares a ton of great information. Our friends at Cat Country, our story about the 17 illegal aliens busted in Big Fork also got a bunch of commentary on the Cat Country Facebook page in Billings. And I'm sure Paul Mushaben would be sounding off on this very topic himself. He's out. He's taken the month off. Well, he's not vacationing. He's taken the month off to focus on calving on the ranch. But, man, look at some of the comments here. Francie. Everybody's asking the question. They're saying, okay, it's great that we arrested these illegal aliens, but what penalties are there for the people who are bringing these illegal aliens here, for the people who are hiring these illegal aliens? That was the question Francie asked. What are the penalties for the employers of these workers? Did they not fill out the paperwork to verify citizenship? Let's see. Kevin says they better start charging these people and businesses that are hiring these illegals. It's time they pay. And then there were a lot of comments. I know when I shared it at facebook.com/Flint Report, there were a lot of our listeners in the Bozeman area saying, hey, just wait till they hit up Bozeman and Big Sky. That's what Josh Hawkins wrote. And, but a lot of people, even on X, we shared this story on X, and everybody's tweeting back in response, hey, we see that 17 illegal aliens were arrested, but who was the employer? Who was the contractor or the subcontractor here? Now, I know the Biden administration in particular, they did everything they possibly could to prevent employers from verifying citizenship. Remember when we had the caller who said, oh, yeah, what you do, they would tell you, instead of a Social Security number, just enter all zeros in. They were telling businesses to do that because the Biden administration caused this invasion. It was all deliberate. They were pushing this illegal alien invasion every single step of the way. I would say, though, I think it's Representative Lucas Schubert out of Kalispell. I think he's got a bill going through the legislature right now that would basically step up enforcement of employers that hire illegal aliens at the state level. And of course, President Donald J. Trump has talked about the need for more enforcement at the federal level for a long time as well. But hey, as you can see it, I think the message is going out loud and clear here. Even in Montana, is that whether you're a Trende Aragua gang member in Bozeman and Belgrade, they are coming for you. Or whether you're on a job site in Big Fork, they are coming for you. Now, we don't know if and what might be happening to the employer of those 17 illegal aliens. But I'll tell you what. If there are others out there who are knowingly hiring illegal aliens to work for them right now, there's a good chance they're coming for you eventually, too. So you might want to rethink that whole strategy there. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Tom in Bozeman, what's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, just a couple of comments. Number one, I watched the talk last night, and Democrats, just shameless, unbelievable. I mean, the military, you know, you might not like an officer, but you salute the rank. I mean, even Ted Cruz said, you know, I didn't care anything for Biden, but when he came in, I applauded because, you know, he's the president. The Democrats have no class, absolutely shameless, you know, just glued to their seats and applauded nothing. All of the wonderful things and people that were singled out, the only thing they applauded was spending $300 billion in Ukraine. They want the war to continue forever, people to die and money to be spent.
I love the tweet from Donald Trump Jr. after his father went down that Doge rundown of all the wasteful spending that's being spent in these other countries. Donald Trump Jr. said this on X. He says, "I don't know about you, but I don't want my tax dollars going to male circumcision in Mozambique." But I think it's probably more than male circumcision. It's probably all out, you know, male chopping the whole thing off in Mozambique is what the Democrats are really funding.
Yeah. House Bill 413 got through the House, and that's the one on making it clear that non-domiciliary students should be voting absentee in their states of domicile, that they have no right to vote in Montana. My daughter went to school at Ohio State. She was not a domiciliary of Ohio. She voted absentee ballot in Montana, and if she was too lazy to get a ballot, then I guess she was, quote, disenfranchised. These students who are not domiciled in the state of Montana have no intention of making Montana their home state. They've got no right to vote in this state. So I think House Bill 413 hopefully will clear that up. Plus, I'm going to suggest to everybody they read a book called To Overthrow the World, one of the best books I've ever read about, you know, communism, socialism, et cetera, you know, the dialectics, keeping people constantly in a state of warfare and animosity and tension. But just the one point I'd like to make is points about how there was an upsurge in communism, especially on college campuses, in the 30s during the Depression, because they were able to thump their chests and chortle, see, capitalism doesn't work, and the communists, the socialists, they cannot destroy us militarily. They cannot, win a war. The only way they can destroy us is economically. The Democrats,
or destroy us from within with their, you know, their social cultural division that they're pushing. That's what this transgender agenda is really about. It's about dividing us. It's about intersectionality and dividing us along every line imaginable, dividing us along economic lines, dividing us along social categories, dividing us along racial lines. And that's why they want to create 600 different genders, or pretend to create 600 different genders, so they can now divide us along 600 different gender lines as well. Tom, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. That reminds me, Kelly in Glasgow had this to say about the speech last night and the Democrats' response. He says, "It was much too obvious after last night's display as to which party has divided this country and intends to keep it divided." That was so well said there by Kelly in Glasgow, that it was so obvious that the Democrats have not only divided this country, but they want to keep dividing this country. They made that very clear last night. Let's see. We got Mike in Cardwell. Sorry for the wait. I got to take a quick break here, or I would sneak you on, but I don't want to cut you off mid-stride. So, Mike in Cardwell, if you can, stand by. We'll get to you right after this. And then, let's see, if we have time, I'll play some, you know, Trump speech highlights here before we wrap up this hour. If not, I promise we're going to have fun with it coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll get a chance to hear from folks all across Montana.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And little Justin hitting back, announcing that he's going to, you know, put more tariffs. He already had tariffs on America. That he's going to put, fine, good luck to little Justin. They have a net population of 42 million. We've got 340 million. Who do you think's going to get hit harder in the end? And China? I don't care what China does. Their economy is tanking too. And over time, you will see, just like in the case of Zelensky, these countries are going to realize that there will be reciprocity, that what they do to us, we will do to them. We believe in free and fair trade. That means it's a two-way street. And America, the days of taking advantage of America are coming to an end.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dump their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now. Claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
An update on what you can contribute to your retirement accounts. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
You can still contribute to your regular or Roth IRA for last year until April 15th of this year. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says if you're over 50, you can contribute more.
For 2024, the maximum contribution you can make is $7,000. And if you are younger than 50, then the maximum contribution is $6,000.
If you are age 60 to 63, this year you'll be allowed to contribute more to a 401k plan. Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
Here's one way we can make Montana great again. Let's make snowmobiling in Yellowstone National Park great again. That story, MontanaTalks.com. Here's one way we can make Montana great again. Let's make snowmobiling in Yellowstone National Park great again. That story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, there were so many great moments in President Trump's address to Congress last night. It truly was the best, let's just call it a State of the Union, even though I know it's not technically. Anyway, it truly was the best State of the Union address I've ever seen in my lifetime. And it was just, that was epic. So many great moments. Not just the people that were highlighted in the galleries, but just some of the lines by President Trump. The two lines I want to share early on in the next hour. You know, it turns out all we needed was a new president. President Trump talking about the southern border. We'll play that one for you. And then he asked Congress, who wants to keep the war going for another 5 years? He was talking about the war in Ukraine. And the president looks around the room, and of course, there's Pocahontas. Pocahontas says yes. She wants to keep the war going for another 5 years. My goodness. We'll get to that and more coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Mike in Cardwell on the phone lines. Mike, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
About a week and a half ago, Lazlowski, your legislative update guy,
yeah,
he mentioned a House bill. I don't know what the number was, but it was, the topic was about mRNA vaccinations on all livestock, all household pets, dogs, cats, birds, etc., and also banning it from any food sources that feed those livestock and the household pets. And the end result is human consumption on the livestock. Therefore, you're getting the mRNA vaccine when you don't want it.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that? I remember hearing that, not only the legislative update from Jeff, but Aaron Laws, who called in earlier about another bill, she joined us and was expressing support for a bill to ban mRNA vaccines in Montana. What's your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, it's 100% needs to be done.
Well, and the argument that, because at first glance, you know, many of us were thinking, look, I don't want to be forced to get one of those things. Certainly didn't want to get, you know, be forced to get the COVID, that stupid COVID shot, et cetera. But if somebody wants to get it, why not allow them to get it? But the argument that Jeff Lazlofsky and Aaron Laws with the, you know, Montana Medical Freedom Alliance were saying is like,
The problem is once they start doing it here and start doing it there, it starts to spread, or shed was the word that he used in particular. And so that was the argument that they made, at least in the update.
Yeah, the only thing it's going to benefit is the medical industry and the veterinary industry long term.
Yeah, apparently, if passed, this would make Montana the first state in the nation to enact such a ban. If I'm not mistaken, the bill, I just asked Grok in the interest of time, but they've got, you know, multiple news stories and posts on X that back it up. House Bill 371, also sponsored by State Representative Greg Kometz out of Miles City, is sponsoring that legislation. All right, hey, thanks for the call. Let's sneak on another caller before we run out of time. Nancy in Roundup, what's your thoughts?
Hey, Patriots, good morning. Well, the Trump speech, it was a masterpiece, just like our president is. And I just want to say that it was acknowledged last night on the Mark Levin show that Susan Rice was one of the people in the room with Zelensky just before the Trump meeting. So we all know about Susan Rice. And I just want to say that Pete Hegg says he's going to open up the Benghazi files, and I'm praying to God to see both Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice in their orange jumpsuits sitting in a federal prison someplace for what they have done and what they did at what they didn't do at Benghazi that caused the death of our Ambassador Chris Stevens and our Navy SEALs. But the only thing is, Aaron, I just heard some word that the Supreme Court sided with Congress. These bills were passed, and unfortunately, $2 billion is going to have to be unfrozen. This will be given in foreign aid, and it just makes me sick because we could use that $2 billion in the United States so badly. So that's the word for me today.
Yeah, hey, well, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, very interesting about Susan Rice meeting with Zelensky. You're going to hear my conversation with Senator Steve Daines coming up in the next hour, part of it. But he raised the question, somebody screwed up that meeting at the White House anyway.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. But it appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.